Hello, everyone. Welcome back to We're Getting a Dog.
Hello. Welcome back, us and everyone.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've recorded this show.
Long time. Has it been a year yet?
I think it's been almost a year.
Wow.
I think it was January of this year, the last time we released. A lot has happened, y'all.
I guess that's true. A lot has happened.
We took a hiatus. We'll take you through the timeline. We decided to take a break after January, and then we decided to move. So
that's right.
We moved and we're still
and we
in Chicago.
We thought moving would take like a weekend.
No.
Which it could have taken a week, but because we thought it would take a weekend, it took months.
You guys,
we didn't have any time off.
We spent 5 years in that apartment. Almost 5 years in that apartment. And you know, it was about four. It was 4 years. And the amount of stuff, the amount of everything, it was insanity. And we moved to a smaller apartment. We're still in Chicago, but it's just in a different neighborhood, too. But it was mayhem. April, I blacked out. I don't remember it.
Yeah, it's weird to think it's been a year since we recorded this.
Like, yeah.
But yeah, we're getting back to a lot of things. I'm getting back to doing stand-up again, so that's been fun.
Yes, I've been writing a lot more again, too. And we've got other creative projects coming down the pipeline. And I worked a month of overnights, which completely messed me up.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And I just couldn't get anything done for a while. It was tough to bounce back. So that was not for me, but it's over now.
Great to have you back.
Yeah. It's, it's weird. Well, we're also recording in a different spot. We're still at the same like table we've always had, but we're in a little sunroom now instead of our kitchen,
surrounded by our neighborhood.
Yeah, so if you hear cars driving by or honking or
dogs
whatever
barking, perhaps
just remember we record this in our sunroom now in our neighbor in Albany Park in Chicago. We're not Arcadia anymore. We're still Arcadia podcast, but it's
right. Yeah, I forgot we named it after our
we
old
live
neighborhood.
In Albany Park now. Yeah, so
our addresses.
We're not telling everybody your address.
28, 29, 30, 31, 32.
Straight.
Yep.
Anyway, do you have anything for us before we start off on the episode, or do you just want to get right in?
No. Thanks for everyone coming back. If you remember us.
Yeah, if you are joining us again, we thank you. If you're new, we should let everyone know this is going to be the final season of We're Getting a Dog.
It's true, right?
So we have sort of... One of the reasons we wanted to take a break was because we found that doing the research was becoming increasingly more difficult for some of these newer breeds and rarer breeds. And as we have covered, you know, gosh, almost, I think, what would we say, like 74 breeds?
Yeah, we've had over 80 episodes.
Yeah, so it's you know, breeds. We're starting to find that a lot of these breeds just don't have the same kind of research put into them.
Well, they just, so many share the same histories too.
That too, their branches off of older dog breeds that we have already covered. So we figured we wanted to do one last season of this show to cover the last few dog breeds that we've always really wanted to talk about. We're not going to stop podcasting though. We're going to come back with a new iteration.
I know we just stopped podcasting for a year, but...
Yeah, no, we are coming back with a new show. So Dylan, it'll still be me and Dylan, but we won't just be talking about dogs all the time.
It'll be amazing. You'll
see. Yeah, I think it'll be a good time. But there'll be more about that as we get deeper into this last season of We're Getting a Dog. But if you're just joining us, please feel free to listen to the backlog. If you are joining us again, thank you very much. A last shout out to the patrons we had for this show. Patreon is now closed, so we are not getting new patrons. But to the people that did support us, gosh, through like 2020, and you know, we had people kind of come and go, but we really appreciated whatever you gave. It helped buy the books for this show. And
yeah, thank you. It would have been possible.
Yeah, and the articles, like it really would not have been possible without your encouragement and support. With that, though, should we get into today's episode?
Let's do it.
All right. I have the episode today. I'm kicking us off for our last season. And I have the Weimaraner to talk about.
Great dog.
It is. You know, it's a very... I didn't really know much about it until I saw the episode of The Office, the dinner party episode, where Jan spray paints the dog.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a Weimaraner. I didn't know much about the breed.
Well, that's only in the extended version, too.
Right. Exactly. but yeah, for the spoiler, if you've never seen the extended versions of those episodes, But I also knew about them without even knowing about it yet. We'll get to that later on.
Okay.
So I'm going to start with a description of the breed. So we have some photos here too. You can follow along in the description. There's our pictures. Known as the Grey Ghost, the Weimaraner is one of the finest scenting dogs and an ever-popular breed for families. Though they weren't introduced to the United States until 1929, over the past century they have become notable as a gun dog, hunting companion, scent tracker, and lovable pet.
Okay.
This one's really veiny, which I kind of bothers me, but they don't usually all look like that.
are they hounds?
I honestly, I don't know. I think they have hound features.
Right.
But nothing ever explicitly said they are of a hound. They are hounds. Ooh, you just heard my stomach growl. They are striking looking dogs with very bright and distinctive eyes that tend to define how they express themselves. As puppies, they look very much the part of a larger dog that's been shrinky-dinked down. So their puppy pictures are actually kind of ridiculously adorable.
Oh my god.
Yeah, they're super bright as puppies too. Like their fur color hasn't really come in yet. So they've got
just smaller, more wrinkly.
Pretty much. Big eyes, huge ears for their size. The Weimaraner is classified as a medium dog, although to me they're large. Like they're not medium to me. A beagle is a medium dog, and apparently a Weimaraner is also a medium dog. Of course, beagles are the baseline of all dogs for me. We still don't have one anyway. We still don't have a dog. In case we didn't cover that, we can't have dogs in our new apartment. We can only have cats. I don't like cats. So
that's why I thought the great way to end this whole series would be to get a cat.
No.
No one would see it coming.
Oh, God. Well, now they will.
You won't get one.
We're not getting a cat, no. So they stand between 24 to 27 inches tall on average. And the height is a strict guideline for showing the dog. I guess there's a lot of rules. They're penalized if they are just one inch out of the bounds of the required height, which is a little meh. Their long legs, sleek furred body, and deep chest give them a regal quality while not undercutting how fast and capable the dog breed is in the field.
They do look fast.
They are quite fast. The AKC's adjectives for this breed were friendly, fearless, and obedient. I always like how they, like, let's sum up a dog in three generic adjectives.
The more alliteration, the better.
That's true. For their weight, the female Weimaraner can be decently lighter than the male. Females weigh between 55 to 75 pounds, and males between 70 to 90 pounds.
Sound like pretty big dogs.
They're definitely each the big dogs, but medium. The males can just be significantly larger. Yeah. The Weimaraner can have light amber, gray, or blue-gray eyes that add a pop of color to their silvery gray-brown fur, providing them with a distinct facial expression. Their fur may also range in shades of mousy brown to silvery gray, with their head and ears usually taking on a lighter shade. They always have docked tails, and they should only be 6 inches in length. Not having the tail docked is a penalization in the show ring.
Not in the UK.
Major faults for this breed are dogs that have bad teeth, too long or short of a back, a mistextured or incorrect coat, and
this is for people too.
White fur is an automatic disqualification.
Oh, wow.
Short ears, poorly pointed feet or gait in general, and a bad back. Bad or over underbite, eyes that are not within the traditional colors.
Very vague, just bad.
Black mottled mouth color, and dogs that exhibit fear, shyness, extreme nervousness, or poor attitude towards their owners and or judges.
Wow. Poor
Did
attitude.
You say people are like that too?
With the first three. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, so the first one, bad teeth, too long or short of a back, and a mistextured or incorrect coat.
Yeah, you want the right texture in your coat.
So what do you think so far? We're about to get into the history, so.
I mean, yeah, I know about Weimaraners. I walked one for a couple of years named Smokey.
Oh, that's right.
He was cute. He was kind of like standoffish, though, to me for the most part. He like wouldn't let me pet him. He was kind of like skittish and was never aggressive toward me, but would bark like crazy at other dogs a lot.
Interesting.
And he was big, too. Strong.
Well, that kind of goes against what they're described
they say
as.
Like, they say they're super friendly.
Yeah. Well, they're friendly, but they're not standoffish. But they're not like aggressive.
Oh.
I don't know. We'll get into it. So with their history, they come from Germany. So just a quick note, before I began writing this section, I was explaining to my friend that this episode is all about the Weimaraners and that they're from Germany. He asked me what time in German history, and I told him the Kaiserroll era, because I thought that was really funny. Like, instead of the, it is the era right. of the Kaisers, but I just put the Kaiser roll era.
It's all the bread they ate.
However, I found out that I wasn't too far off the mark, because the Kaiser roll was officially named in honor of Kaiser Franz Joseph I, who reigned between 1848 and 1916, which was when this breed became popular. Right. So I wasn't totally wrong.
Yeah. Some good bread.
Yeah. The Weimaraner is a rather recently made breed, which first appeared in the 19th century. They were originally known as the Dogs of Weimar, which means that their ownership was limited to the nobility of the East Central German Weimar Republic, which is also known as the German Reich, but not that German no. Reich. This German Reich effectively ended on August 2nd, 1934, when Adolf Hitler succeeded the last Weimar president, Paul von Hindenburg, as ruler of Germany. So this was the last family of... This was like the last Reich before that was the second, Nazi Germany.
That was the Second Reich.
It just officially ended in 1934. The Reich ended in 1918 with the National Socialist Party getting to power.
The first Reich? We could
get into German history. No, the Second Reich.
Look.
Anyway, throughout the 19th and early 20th centuries, the nobles of Weimar were known to be avid sportsmen who preferred to hunt large game such as bears, wolves, and big cats.
Jesus.
I just imagine a giant, like, what's the big cat, house cat that's giant?
Maine Coon?
Maine Coons, yeah.
Oh, God, don't hunt them.
No, I'm kidding, but I'm just imagining, like, Maine Coon cats. Because I don't know, it said big cats. I didn't think of, like, tigers.
Well, not in Germany, no.
No.
Maybe like mountain lions or something?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I tried to look, and it didn't really say anything. Anyway, they required a dog that could intimidate and take down larger animals, presumably both in the German wilderness and on their travels. First, they developed a large hound-like tracking dog that was very aggressive towards what it was seeking.
Hmm.
Unfortunately, the larger animals, specifically in Germany, did not have sufficient numbers to sustain their population, and then they became endangered from overhunting.
Right.
So the owners of the distinct Weimar dogs began to crossbreed them with birding dogs so that they could sort of transition them into, like, wing shooting and, like, pointing retriever dogs.
Yeah.
Because they were switching to that, you know, the big game was gone.
Right.
So the emerging Weimaraner was crossed with, presumably, this is based on that, like, DNA article that we found. And I just traced it back to what breeds were older in the Weimaraner. Yeah. So it's presumably with the German Pointer, specifically a strain known as the Large Münsterlander, and then later on with the wire-haired pointing Griffon. Mm. Griffon.
Okay, so it's like a pointer dog.
More. Yeah. It became a pointing dog after at first being a hunting dog.
Right, in the hounds.
Yeah. The birding improvements also led the Weimar dog to become capable of finding smaller land game as well, like rabbits and, like, I don't know, other small land game you eat. I only ever think of rabbits.
Right. Squirrels? No?
I guess. I don't know. They became very reliable hunting dogs overall, being able to traverse different terrains, including water, to find small game and birds for their hunters.
Like fish? They're going fishing?
No, that they could, it's like how, you know, like lab retrievers aren't afraid to, like, swim to find the game that's been shot down type of thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Like birds.
Their scenting abilities were also very useful in this field, and they are seen as a very efficient hunting companion. They were nicknamed the Forester's Dog, thanks to their fierce loyalty and bond with their owner, the Forester. After spending a day out hunting, they would devote the rest of their time to their humans. So the second
iteration... The Foresters.
The Foresters. Only one family called the Foresters. This iteration of the Weimar dog that had all the bird pointing stuff became known as the Weimaraner.
Okay,
the Weimaraner, yeah. If you're not American. We say Weimaraner. At this time, they continued to be bred and kept only by the nobility of Germany. So this was still only, like, only royals had this dog. They wanted to preserve the quality of the breed, so they created the German Weimaraner Club in 1897 to limit the ownership of the breed and to have executive control over the breeding practices. Very little was known about the breed except for within the upper echelons of German society. That rule was kept until 1928 when a New England sportsman named Howard Knight applied for membership to the exclusively German club, which is super random.
Well, he probably went to Germany, found out about it, demanded in because he's a New England important guy.
I guess. Couldn't find much about him except for this, that he got a Weimaraner in America for the first time. So the Weimaraner enters the world stage.
You mean America?
Yeah. So shortly after the reluctant admittance to the Weimaraner Club of Germany, Knight was sent two Weimaraners in 1929, although they had both been sterilized. So they were like, we're going to send you two dogs, but you can't breed them. Sorry.
How did he find out about them then? Well, I figured he went to Germany and then brought back a couple.
No, they had to send them to him. So anyway, Knight was extremely determined to get his own breeding stock, and it took another 10 years in 1938 before he was able to get Weimaraners that were not spayed or neutered. He received 3 females and 1 male.
Imagine trying to ship dogs from Germany to New England in the 1890s.
I mean, there were a lot of boats, though. I mean, just travel on boats and go collect it. I mean, a lot of packages and stuff were sent that way.
Pet care is tough, though. You know, it's different from just shipping.
Sure, they were fed
potatoes.
Anyway, by this time, Knight's inner circle had begun to spread the word about his plans to bring the Weimaraner to America, and he had gained a following in New England for trying to get this, like, really good-looking German breed into American shows. Over the next 4 years, Knight bred and trained his Weimaraner stock, and together with those also devoted to the dog's attention stateside, they all formed the Weimaraner Club of America in 1942. And they created an American standard for the breed, and the AKC then accepted the breed's application into the Obedience Show of 1942. At the end of 1942, the AKC recognized the Weimaraner as a breed, and it debuted at Westminster Dog Show in 1943.
They didn't try to rename it? The name was so German?
Well, here's the thing. The acceptance of the breed had started in America a little bit earlier, and there were a lot of people escaping Germany with the Weimaraner. So they were coming to America without having to be, like, accepted, like, given away by the Weimaraner Club of Germany.
Okay.
And a lot of breeders in Germany were really afraid because, you know, of course, Germany's being, like, bombed. You know, they're really afraid that all these, this breed is going to die out. And a lot of the German breeds, they were afraid they were going to die out because of the war. So a lot of people were given Weimaraners to take to America as they fled Germany.
Right.
So that way they were given the highest breeding stock. They're like, take this to America and get this to this guy.
Wow, yeah.
And then that's how the Weimaraner survived World War II. And it kind of happened to be a stroke of luck that the Weimaraner became really popular in America, like, during the end of the European part of World War II.
It was probably a popular hunting dog here.
Well, it was. And then basically, like, they excelled in obedience trials. And so they became show dogs really fast. Like, and so they had a popularity as a hunting dog that you could use in multiple different kinds of terrain. And then there's the show side. Like, you know, basically there was just a lot going for it. And it got to the States kind of in the nick of time where its existence could have been really shorted because of the war.
Right.
So it was a very, you know, it's one of the more positive stories to come out of all the dog
World
breeds
War II.
Of Germany that had to get out of Germany so that way their breed stock wouldn't die.
Right.
So up until like the mid-1950s, the Weimaraner experienced its golden era of competition and general popularity in the United States. Several dogs performed extremely well in competitions and took best in show titles within like the Weimaraner Club's shows. They never got best in show with Westminster or the AKC.
Robbed.
Not yet.
This year's the year. Or next year.
The breed also took off in popularity as a family pet, and for a few years during the early 1950s, everything seemed great. Like, the competition dogs were good. The breed stock that was going to families was good.
The economy was booming.
Yeah, and then the notion slowly started to, like, fall apart in the later 1950s when breeding became really more of a for-profit venture. There was backyard breeding of the dog. Mm. You know, nothing was being done to advance the breed.
Too many of the dogs and weren't being taken care of or trained.
So Weimaraner puppies began to start looking different, and they were not growing into healthy dogs. They had lots of problems. One article just simply described them as ugly. Like, they were ugly-looking dogs, not the Weimaraner.
Well, it describes having a unique face.
Right, but it's okay, though, because as with many other dog breeds that we talk about on this show, a dedicated group of people decided to be like, we're going to save this dog breed from being destroyed. So in the later 60s into the early 70s, there was a really big push to get the Weimaraner to become its standardized form in really good top condition. not having all the problems that develop from overbreeding. And basically after that, it enjoyed a niche popularity among show people and just, you know, people who've had the dog in their families and things. It wasn't the most popular dog, you'd see them every now and again.
Yeah.
That was until the 2010s, when their popularity sharply increased for the first time in almost 50 years.
Oh, wow.
The current wave of popularity, though, is being carefully monitored by the Weimaraner Club of America and certified breeders. There is a slight issue right now of Weimaraners ending up in shelters. So if anyone listening has an interest in owning this breed, please check to see if there is one up for adoption in your area. You can visit justweimaraners.com to view a list of Weimaraner rescues, and they're all listed by state.
Yeah, it seems like any larger dog that has a surge in popularity
and we're starts to end up in the shelters. Next part of this episode, after our break, we're going to get into kind of like what is causing them to be a shelter dog, which you can probably predict if you've ever listened to this show before. but anyway, to wrap up their history, currently, as of 2023, the Weimaraner is the 44th most registered breed in the United States by the AKC. So it maintains a rather decent stand in the top 50. It's nothing like the Lab Retriever. You know,
Sounds like it's a pretty desired show dog, too.
It is. And I think it's kind of a combination of it has been known as a show dog for most of its time in the United States and probably in Germany, too. I mean, it came from nobility in Germany, so no one could own it before probably like 1930. Mm-hmm. So it was definitely a very interesting history to read through, and coupled with my knowledge of World War II, I was kind of fascinated at how it made it out. Like, I know a lot about World War II. For those of you who don't know that, I read a ton about the European theater between 1930 and 1956. Like,
yeah, it is kind weird of a how
ridiculous amount of history I know, but what are you going to say?
It's weird how it affected different German breeds differently, too.
Well, you know, I wonder if the Weimaraner wasn't exactly loved by Hitler, to put it plainly.
Okay.
And maybe it wasn't Hitler's favorite breed. I mean, he liked German shepherds.
Yeah, maybe it also Rottweilers. Just wasn't as ubiquitously German as, like, German shepherds and dachshunds.
They also, I mean, they were a nobility dog, but they were meant specifically, like, very specifically for hunting. Like, they were only used for hunting for most of, their original time in their homeland. Like, not to mention there weren't a lot of them. But anyway, no, I thought this had an interesting history to it. And there's also some photos here, and I have a clip of one of them barking and howling. I guess I didn't get to that. Their bark is very, like, generic sounding.
Worse
I'll just
than
play
their
it
bite?
Off my laptop. It's just very, like, barky.
Yeah. Smokey was a loud barker.
Yeah, so that's their bark. They also howl, which is a fun bit. I'll play that one here, too. Mm.
Oh, a very deep owl. Nice.
That's the...
Oh, wait. Are they both Weimaraners?
I think it's a person and a Weimaraner. It might be both Weimaraners. But there is a Weimaraner howling in the video. You can see it like, how, wow, wow, wow. That's the Weimaraner in the video. So they do howl. But yeah, that's the first half of this episode, so...
All right, you want to take a break?
Yes, let's take a break. We'll be right back. All right.
And we back.
We're back with training a Weimaraner.
Is it easy?
No. The Weimaraner is an energetic working dog, and the need for exercise is very intense for this breed.
That makes sense.
They prefer to play with their owners, too, so they don't like to be alone. They require, on average, a minimum of 2 hours of exercise per day. And that's just, you know, kind of like a ballpark number, but you need to get them out. This is not a dog that can be kept inside. Doing that will result in a very antsy and destructive dog.
Oof.
They like to go for runs, long walks, hikes, and are ultimately a very good dog for, like, really outdoor active people who want to take their dog along for the adventure. They're also fond of swimming, which is fun.
Yeah, right.
One article I read is quoted as saying, a tired Weimaraner is a good and happy Weimaraner. They're a very people-centric breed and will always want to be around their loved ones. They're not much of a loner or cat-like breed of dog in that they choose when or when not to give affection. They will always want to give affection. So they'll always be in your shadow. Like,
I guess Smokey just didn't like me much.
Well, I think it's also a thing of they're dedicated to their people.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's what it seemed for him.
Yeah, one person said that, like, their dog would put their snout in the shower when they were showering. Like, wouldn't get in the shower, just put their nose in.
Right.
Very, very attached. This leads to a small dilemma, however, with training them, because they need to become used to their person leaving the house. So separation anxiety is very common for Weimaraners, and so crate training them can be a challenge.
Oh, yeah.
However, there's like, it's like a catch-22. It's impossible to train them if they're not crate trained. Like, they have to be crate trained in order to understand why they can't be in the house at certain times and like how to not be destructive type of thing.
Right.
Because of their intelligence, they can become distracted and bored rather easily if their training is not consistent or actively involved. But being firm and forgiving is a virtue for training this kind of dog, and it will pay off in the end. Choosing to give up on training a Weimaraner will result in a dog that can become destructive and dependent on human attention to the point of it being a complete nuisance. Like, they don't know space, they don't know boundaries, they will have a hard time understanding why you're going somewhere without them, instead of understanding like, oh, this is, they'll come back. Like, they don't ever think you're going to come back type of thing.
Right.
They do very well with obedience training, ironically, and can learn a lot if it's applied with the intention of it being about them. So you kind of have to use some mental trickery and being like, this training is for you to enjoy, because you're getting to spend time with me. But so like
positive
affirmation. Of course, like, yeah, negative reinforcement doesn't work. And so it doesn't, I mean, when has it? And it doesn't create a dog that's angry. It said treat training can be used, but to not go crazy, which is usually what we read, you know, if they're really not getting something, that's kind of a last resort. But they're really quick learners. And so tricks and command training are really well accomplished early in their development, which is really nice, because by the time they become toddler puppies and it's harder and harder to train them, they still have their basic stuff down if you get them from being a puppy. And they can still learn things quickly as adults, too. And also, it says to be sure to keep lots of chew toys around, because they like to bite things or chew on things because they're big dogs.
Big old mouths.
Yep. There are a few common health concerns to owning a Weimaraner. The first one is entropion, which is when the eyelid grows inward and the eyelashes scratch the cornea. We've talked about that before. Hip dysplasia, bloat, or gastric dilation. If you haven't heard that before, bloating is very dangerous for dogs. It can actually kill them.
Yeah.
So you have to be really careful if they eat too quickly, if they eat too much. If they get into something, there are ways to treat it, though. Like, but you just have to be really quick on your feet if you sense something's wrong. Hypothyroidism, which is the lack of thyroid hormones to increase metabolism. So this can happen, and then they won't, you know, they'll get fatter quicker, basically, because they have to be put on special diets for that.
I see.
And then malocclusion, which is just bite or dental issues. So some dogs can be born with really bad teeth, basically.
It's against the standard, bad
teeth. It is against standard, yeah. You can't show them. Grooming a Weimaraner is very easy. They have extremely short coats that do shed, but not to the point that they can coat furniture.
I was like, they shed?
Yeah, when they shed, their coat color may turn a little darker in either patches or in a straight line down their spine, which is like unique to the breed, I guess. Like all dogs, their paws and ears must be tended to on a regular basis, and they require a bath usually once or twice a month, plus more if they roll around in something that smells, which is what they tend to do so they can track a scent.
I hope people figure that out. It's like, he smells, but I don't know, once or twice a month is all it's required.
So, just let him bathe smell. Your dog if they're gross. Like, bathe them if they're gross. I've seen several groomers online use the Equigroomer for their Weimaraner to remove the shedding coat. For clarification, the Equigroomer was originally made for horses, but it works really well on, like, as a slicker brush for short-haired animals. They're really popular. They have ones for rabbits now. The dog ones have come out now. Like, Equigroomers are popular for short coated breeds because it can catch all the fine little hairs.
Yeah.
Luckily, their shedding period is only a month. So they shed their coat really fast and it regrows quickly. So you don't have to deal with, like, some short-haired dogs that literally shed all year round.
Okay, yeah.
In the seasons of shedding, it only takes about a month for their coat to turn around. The cost of a Weimaraner puppy is not cheap. Any purebred dog isn't cheap nowadays. It's the aggregated fall 2023 prices are between an average of $1,000 and $3,500 in the United States. The Weimaraner Club of America has a breeder guide by state, as well as the AKC with their certified breeders by breed. However, we've said this before, there is a chance you'll see one of these dogs or a mix in a shelter. So please look at the rescue stuff before you'd consider purchasing one.
Yeah, especially bigger dogs.
Absolutely. And they can be trained. Like, don't be afraid that they're like given up because if they're impossible. You just have to put more time and effort into it. Like, it is a real dedication taking a shelter dog.
Yeah.
Because there's some trauma you have to work through there too.
Yeah, they're all different.
But I mean, you know, two of our dogs were shelter dogs and they were great dogs. You know, if you love them, they're going to love you back. So on the life expectancy average, they can live between 10 to 14 years. Overall, it is a rather long life for a big dog, yeah. But they do have issues as they get older. If they're kept healthy, they'll probably have a likelihood of bone and joint issues in old age just because of their size. That's common for a lot of dogs, but yeah. Unfortunately, they are very prone to cancer, according to a couple articles, which usually starts around 10 years old. The only thing that really I would think would be to just be sure that whatever you're feeding your dog, whatever they ingest, whatever they're around is not harmful. Like, a lot of cancer cases for dogs are caused specifically by the ingestion of carcinogens.
Oh, wow.
And just being around an environment that is, you know, not safe, whether it's air quality, water quality, you know, soil quality, like, you never know. Like, it seems to be a lot of man-made things is what is causing cancer in dogs. So at least that's what I tend to see in a lot of articles we've read over the years for this show. The oldest Weimaraner on record lived to be 18 years and 10 months old, which is pretty long.
Yeah, pretty old.
Yeah,
for a dog.
Definitely. Stanley Coren ranks Weimaraners as the 21st most intelligent breed, and it definitely shows.
Sounded pretty smart.
Yeah. They're incredibly trainable and obedient if given patience and consistent training. Because of this, though, they are not considered a good choice for first-time dog owners.
Right.
They're quick-thinking and manipulative nature, and a very reputable source called them manipulative. They conniving basically, they'll trick you into wanting to have a gentle, loving pet, but they're destructive because you're just going to give them what they want each time and not like train them. Does that make sense? You have to know how to train a smart dog. Like, they won't just like watch you and do it. They'll watch you and then do it, and then that when you try to advance it, if they get bored, they're like, I don't want to do this. So, yeah, it's not recommended for a first-time owner just because of the amount of energy they take, too.
Oh, yeah.
It may be kind of surprising to first-time owners to find how much time and dedication a Weimaraner may take just because they're such an active breed. If you're a very active person, though, honestly, it's a good choice. And if you're up to the challenge of training, it might be a really good option as a first pet if you're a very active person that wants to get out with a dog. And
yeah, those are some of the most fun breeds, too.
Yeah.
You get the time to put in for them.
It's also really good if you're a family that have, you're a really active family that's kind of like looking for a pet that's loyal and full of energy for your kids.
Yeah.
Weimaraners are a very good family pet also. They've consistently come up as like a top family pet option. They're not aggressive either. They're like kind of gentle giant type of dogs. If they are aggressive, they may have some personal issues, but most of the time, if they're trained with obedience training in mind, they're very intelligent about how they get your attention. They won't resort to having to be violent towards you.
I see.
Yeah. And then now at the last part is famous Weimaraners.
Ooh.
The most famous Weimaraners today may be William Wegman's Weimaraners, which are usually portrayed in his art wearing human clothing in various different scenes. And I have a lot of pictures, which are a lot of fun.
See the owner of Wegman's?
I don't know, but you got to click on the links because you'll know immediately who these dogs are as soon as you click the link.
Okay. Doesn't sound familiar.
That's because you probably have never heard of William Wegman. You've seen his Weimaraners.
Yeah, I've seen them.
So, like, these are basically, like, I love the ones in wigs. My favorite one is Blonde on Brown. Because it's a Weimaraner in a blonde Farrah Fawcett wig.
Wow.
They're just so funny. It sort of inspired the, you know, like, every Christmas there's that video that pops up of all the dogs eating holiday dinner together. It's sort of inspired by this. It may actually be by William Wegman. But, yeah, these are, I just found these and I thought they were really cute. The last one is one of my favorites, too. The one with sunglasses and the big chunky jewelry. But, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
His Weimaraners are very famous for being portrayed in his art as almost like human subjects, but they're dogs' faces.
Yeah, they're very like deep eyes.
And they'll have like human hands and stuff too.
Right.
But yeah, they do have very deep, soulful eyes. Yeah. Their eyes are sort of their defining facial feature because they can come in, they come in a very bright color. All the colors they come in are bright, which really juxtaposes the dark silvery of their fur. I don't know. Right. I think they're gorgeous dogs.
Yeah, definitely.
But that's all I have on the Weimaraner.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
What a breed.
I like them. I think if ever, I think, you know, in my owning a ranch fantasy, a Weimaraner might be a good choice.
One of every breed, yeah. But yeah, not a lot of surprises, but they're a solid breed.
Mm-hmm. I've never actually seen one in person, I don't think.
No, you've never seen one in person?
I don't think so.
We've definitely walked by some.
Maybe. I always get them confused with Vislas, though.
Vislas, they do look similar,
Vislas,
I think.
Vislas are almost like a golden brown, though, as opposed to... Or like a chestnut brown. These are like a silvery brown, but...
Oh, yeah. Vislas more hound-looking, yeah, at least in color.
But maybe I have walked by a Weimaraner. But I've never gotten a chance to, like, feel their fur, or, like, pet them or anything. But... No, I do like this breed a lot. It was a nice breed to kick off with, for sure. I've wanted to cover this breed for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, all the ones this season are ones we've been meaning to do the whole time. And if we didn't want to do them, we would end the show.
Which was what we're doing in 11 episodes.
As soon as, we do them all.
Well, yeah. So is it time for some dog news?
I have to interrupt you with it. You can't cue me. I was doing it wrong.
Sorry.
You're good.
Do you want me to start over?
No, I was joking.
Okay.
So this week in dog news, there's been quite a bit of dog news, even at the highest levels of U.S. government. President Biden's German Shepherd commander recently bit another White House staff member for the 10th time. And then 2 days later, made it 11 times.
Wow.
So yeah, something's got to be done about that dog, I guess. It's getting pretty old, I think.
Gotta be older now, yeah.
In disturbing dog news, Department of Defense official Frederick Moorfield was charged with running a dog fighting ring.
Yikes.
Yeah.
A member of the DOD was running a dog fighting ring.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thin. But in lighter dog news, as we record this today, 300 pugs are in Virginia Beach competing in the Pugapalooza dog show. The event allows pugs to compete in different categories and show off the breed's health, performance, and companionship.
Breathing.
They got an agility.
Walking, and how long they last in the heat. Those are the three contests.
I want to see the agility competition. They got one.
Is there video of this anywhere?
I don't know. It's happening today, so maybe later.
That's cute.
300 pugs.
Yeah. I can't imagine. Can you imagine just 300 fawn little animals? Probably some black pugs in there, too. But like,
yeah, true.
I never see black pugs, ever.
No, I see them sometimes.
Really? I only ever see fawn ones.
Sometimes someone has one fawn and one black pug.
I want a black pug.
They're the cutest.
I think so. And they also breathe better than the fawn pugs.
But our main story in dog news tonight takes us to Allentown, Pennsylvania, and a 14-year-old yellow lab named Judge. Judge served his community with the Allentown Fire Department as an arson canine from 2011 to 2018. And during that time, Judge was chosen in 2016 as Arson Dog of the Year at that year's annual American Humane Hero Dog Awards.
Interesting.
It said he thrived in arson investigation, searching 275 fire scenes during his career.
Wow.
As well as deterrence and education, according to a memo Allentown Parks and Recreation Department Mandy Tellino wrote to City Council. So since his retirement in 2018, Judge has lived with former Allentown Fire Chief Lee Laubach, who has informed the public via social media that Judge doesn't have much time left, unfortunately.
Oh, well, how old would he be now then?
Oh, he's 14.
He's 14, and he's a lab. So,
yeah, that's a pretty long life for a lab.
That's a long life for a lab, yeah.
Yeah, he's done a lot.
Especially, a very intense life for a lab, no less, too.
Oh, yeah. Got 5 years of retirement there.
Yeah.
And in response, the Allentown City Council is poised to rename the Dixon Street Dog Park to Judge Memorial Dog Park.
Aw, that's nice.
Yeah, that was just a cute story of a community coming around. Yeah, to appreciate a dog that's made a difference for them.
That's really nice. Allentown's where it's at.
Yeah, I imagine he's probably like a presence on social media, or at least still beloved by the community.
Probably. I mean, later. we had canine units in Lincoln that were like known by the community because they were always present at public events. And
oh, yeah.
Usually, though, the dogs of choice in Lincoln were always German Shepherds.
Oh.
So we had a lot of German Shepherd canine units in Lincoln. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, everyone loves a Labrador, too. You can't know.
Yeah, but no, I like that the members of a community are recognizing that, you know, dogs do incredible work for the salvation of people.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, it's very kind of, I don't know, a little crazy to think about sometimes when just how dedicated of animals they are to us as people. Not to get philosophical, but, you know, it's, that's really nice.
Yeah, definitely. Sweet. Anyway, that's boopity boop dog news.
Boopity boop boop boop.
Boopity boop.
Well,
rest in peace, Judge. Keep on trucking.
Yeah, now, but God.
Doesn't have much time. In memoriam, Judge.
And with that, we're gonna end, I guess. Jeez, Dylan. That's all we have for this week's episode of We're Getting a Dog. You can check out our social media. I'm not really gonna force you to, because
I will.
Don't really do anything with it
I'm
right now, because we're
you
in
to.
The middle of transitioning it to a different project. But no, if you want to check out our other shows, feel free to look up our backlog of episodes. We'll keep them up, obviously, after we finish this run of the show, too. But otherwise, I don't have anything else. Thank you all so much for listening. And Dylan, you have to take us out.
All right. Help out your local shelters any way you can, whether that's donating, volunteering, fostering, or adopting, and help control those local pet populations. Have your pets spayed or neutered. Rest in peace, Bob Barker.
What? Has he died since we've done this show?
Yes. Oh.
Why rest in peace, Bob Barker?
What do you mean? He made that out. Like,
oh, he did?
Yeah, he closed out every episode of Price is Right with "Have your pet help control the pet population. Have your pet spayed or neutered."
I did not
know
that.
This
I
whole
didn't
time.
Know that. No, I thought that you just came up with that.
Oh, no. No, he really made a difference, though, in like pet populations and animal humanitarian. Like,
well,
he was a big animal rights advocate. Yeah.
Cool. All right.
Good night, everybody.
Bye. Wesley Van Hoosen and Dylan Naylor are not pet professionals. Any advice regarding pet ownership and the responsibilities thereof taken from this program should be checked with your veterinarian. All episodes are researched thoroughly, fact-checked, and additionally researched during post-production. Annotated bibliographies of every episode can be found at weregettingadog.com/bibliographies. This podcast is hosted by Dylan Naylor and Wesley Van Hoosen. If you'd like to reach out or submit a photo of your dog to be featured on our social media, please contact us at wgad@arcadiapodcastnetwork.com or on our Instagram @weregettingadog. Thank you for listening to We're Getting a Dog from the Arcadia Podcast Network.